It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, what makes a perfect lawn? There are a lot of opinions on that. And Kamyar and Cheyenne is making the case for plant diversity, even in the suburbs. We'll find out about the Good Neighbor Iowa program from UNI's Center for Energy and Environmental Education. But first, Iowa Public Television's new web series, Greetings from Iowa, is bringing us video postcards from around the state and giving us a chance to meet some really remarkable people in our state. Here's a clip from episode one that takes us to Pocahontas to meet kaleidoscope maker Leonard Olson.
Pocahontas, when I was growing up, they were a growing community, a farm community. But what's happened is we've lost all of our rural population. And they still think that buy local is a good idea, but it's not, because the locals either went to the cemetery or they moved to Des Moines. Tourism is one of the answers that we can work with here. Less than 10% of my business comes from locals, because you only need about so many kaleidoscopes. You're not gonna, you know, oh, call the office and have him bring home a kaleidoscope for dinner. No, it's not gonna happen.
Just a moment from the first episode of Greetings from Iowa. And with me now is Tyler Briniger. He is an Iowa Public Television producer and director and the person behind the development of this new series. Hello, Tyler.
Hi, Charity. How you doing?
Very good. Welcome to the show. Taylor Shore is also with us, IPTV digital content manager. Hello, Taylor.
Morning, Charity.
Thank you both for being here. And Tyler, tell me what the idea was behind this show.
Well, we wanted to, two things. We wanted to enter a sort of the new digital world at Iowa Public Television. We kind of got that from above, that we needed to, you know, find a way to put our product in front of people in a different area where they're searching for, you know, a mass amount of product anyway. And we wanted to get in the way of them, to get in front of them. And then aside from that, I had another idea developing about really just putting more faces and more sound of Iowans on our product. Really, one of the tipping off points when I first approached Taylor with this was your two cents worth in the Des Moines Register. I bring it up all the time. Because sometimes it's just wacky and sometimes it's informative, but usually it's said with a really specific, you know, natural flow of language that you just don't get in writing. And, well, maybe you do. I don't know.
But they sound like really authentic voices.
Yeah, you go to the source, I guess. And the first treatment, the first line, I actually wrote it down to bring in. On the first treatment I had written, the most interesting thing you heard today was uttered, not written. And so that was important for me too, because I was an editor before I was a producer. And I know the power of just people saying things, you know, rather than voiceover. And I wanted to go capture people saying things.
So why is this a web series at this point? And I want to hear from both of you about that. But Tyler, you can go first, because most TV producers are working to get their shows on television.
Sure. Opportunity and low cost for me. That was, I had an idea that I wanted to get out, and I saw an opportunity, and the station asked us to enter this new area. And so I said, okay, I could do this for cheap with small cameras, small crew, and just run around the state and kind of get interesting people doing interesting things. And Taylor was a natural partner. She and I are both relatively new at the station. I've been there 4 years. She's been there, I think, two. And so, again, this was another mission, was to collaborate more between departments. And so it was just really natural for us to kind of get together on this. And she knows the digital realm way better than I do. So it was more like, hey, this is something I want to do. How can it fit into where you need content? And yeah, that was my end of it.
Well, and Taylor, what's the benefit to having a series like this? Which, although, I mean, Tyler's talking about producing it on the cheap, it looks great. It's a highly produced series, and it's only on the web right now. What's the benefit?
Well, Tyler's stolen a lot of my thunder there. Yeah, a lot of the benefit is being able to get it out cheap and fast and everything. But I'll tell you, one of the other reasons why we wanted, I guess, just a human interest engine was, I think Tyler might have mentioned it, you know, getting more of those human faces out there, seeing more of the stories of Iowans. We are definitely used to the model at Iowa Public Television of, you know, making really big, awesome things and it taking a long period of time, you know, and that really limits the number of stories that we can tell. Tyler's been able to do this in those little pockets of time that he has in between a lot of those big projects that he's working on, you know. So instead of having to say, well, we're going to wait 2 years to do a human interest series because we've got too much on our plates right now. It was a, hey, we can make this work and really still produce some amazing, high quality, beautiful things. We also know that, you know, as much as we know people are still watching television and the biggest slice of that pie is absolutely still live television, people are tuned into their devices more and more, you know. They might spend 5 hours a day watching live television, but instead of taking away from live television, they're adding to the number of hours a day that they are tuned into content. And they are looking for content in other areas. They are looking for content via social media, online. They want to be able to stream their content whenever, wherever. And this was some more content that we could add and put it out in front of people and all the other places that they're looking for content.
So this is a web-only series right now. Is it a web first series? Is this something that you hope to have on the air on IPTV in the future, or this is only for the web?
Well, we call this a digital first project, and we're hoping to do a lot more digital first projects, as we call them. The idea is that it starts online, starts with a YouTube channel, website, Facebook, any social media channel that we think makes sense for it, really. But then I think actually the first episode of Greetings from Iowa will be kicking off on air. We're going to be using them kind of in our interstitial areas, which that just kind of means in those little breaks that we have in between our bigger programming. And then eventually this show will be packaged into bigger blocks. So you might see like 3 or 4 episodes put together into like a 30-minute special that we'll have on air. I think the idea is that a lot of our digital-first content that we're going to start exploring will eventually end up on air in interesting packages that we put together like that.
Now, Tyler, you talked about having the voices of the people that you're profiling come through. And when people are face-to-face with a camera, sometimes that can be incredibly unnerving. And it's hard to act natural, and it's hard to speak as you normally would. So do you have an approach to try to get people to be comfortable and talk to us?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's probably something you deal with too. I don't have a really thought through approach. I just sort of let them talk and I go where the conversation goes. I might have a short list of things I want to cover. And in fact, towards the end of the interview, often I'll say, okay, I've got a couple of checklists here I need to knock off and just do some formulate questioning. But other than that, I kind of say, why are you doing this? You know, I just let them roll. And then if they start laughing or if they have something to say, then I'll do a follow-up and kind of roll with that. Other than that, we kind of roll the whole time. So if somebody's building a kaleidoscope, you know, it's uncomfortable to sit in silence. And so they'll be talking to you while they're building the kaleidoscope. So I'll have a microphone on them, and I'll have the camera going in a place that I think is appropriate. And basically, nothing, you know, you can't get away with anything if I'm around.
Well, and you mentioned small cameras. Is there new technology that has really made this possible for you?
That's right. That's right. We started shooting it with some guys at work have their own DSLR small cameras, personal cameras that they started shooting, Cameron McCoy and Patrick Boberg. I think you know Cameron.
Yes.
And also, Shane Straka helped me come up with a lot of these ideas. In fact, he turned me on to the kaleidoscope, the first guy. And he even named the series, he'll want me to say. But the small cameras allow us to, for instance, we did a hot air balloon piece that's going to come out in July and in Indianola. And that just couldn't have happened without these small, you know, what look like photography cameras. But yeah, you can roll all day with them, and they don't get in the way. Card-based media, you don't run out of the film. And really,
well, I wonder if they make people feel more comfortable, too, because nowadays we're all used to having an iPad or, a phone you can take pictures all the time.
Do you think it's disarming. It's very disarming. That's right.
Interesting. Well, I want to hear just a moment from one of the other episodes. This
sure.
one, episode, I think it was episode 2, from Mount Vernon, Iowa, profiling artists who are painting oil paintings of downtown buildings. And here's the voice of one of the artists.
We live in a very beautiful part of the country. I wrote on RegBri, and the most common comment from people not from Iowa was how beautiful it was and how hospitable it was, and that our children's eyes shine. So that does describe what a wonderful place we live. It's a place I think a lot of people would want to live if they only knew.
It's just a moment from Greetings from Iowa, the second episode of this web series. And I mean, Tyler, in going around the state, in bringing us these postcards, which are visual, but also, you know, tell the story of the individuals, is kind of what she said part of your plan? Are you trying to show people what you love about Iowa?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, because that one in particular is, I was trying to ask, so I did the Leonard story with the Kaleidoscope Factory, and he talked a lot about how Pocahontas in rural Iowa is struggling at times, right? And so then I did the next shoot, the portrayal of Mount Vernon, and I kind of tried to ask her about how rural Mount Vernon, how's things there, you know? And she just flat disagreed with where I was going. And I really appreciated that, you know? We had asked other people around town, and one gentleman said, you know, Mount Vernon's just any town. I can paint anywhere. It doesn't matter where I'm at. There's a lot of these interesting little towns. But she was adamant. That was Donna Jo Mullen there. She was adamant that this is a beautiful town, and people come here and tell her that this is beautiful. And as far as storytelling, that's a nice cap to the narrative, and so I used that at the end. But it's not. I don't think it's any more true or less true than the other guy who said, you know, I can paint anywhere. And I think that's what's interesting about this series, or what could be interesting, is that if you don't go in expecting anything, then you take what you get, and then you compile it later.
We are talking about the new IPTV web series. It's called Greetings from Iowa. You can find them on the web, of course, on their Facebook page. They've got a YouTube channel. They've got 4 episodes out, and one of the episodes just debuted today online, featuring Brian Geis, also known as the Bobblehead Guy. We'll meet him in a few minutes as well. With me, Tyler Brinninger. He is an Iowa Public Television producer and director, and the person behind the development of this new series. Taylor Shore is also here, IPTV Digital Content Manager. And we will continue our conversation in just a moment. Also coming up later this hour, the Good Neighbor Iowa program from the University of Northern Iowa, asking us to rethink our idea of the perfect lawn. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are talking about a new series from Iowa Public Television, but it's not one you'll see on TV, at least not yet. It's a web series called Greetings from Iowa, and it brings us video postcards from around the state, giving us an opportunity to meet some really remarkable people that are part of Iowa. And I want to play a sample from yet another episode. Episode 4 just came out today, but this is from an episode that profiles the Sampradaya Dance Troupe, which is based in Iowa City, Iowa, performing traditional Indian dances.
My mom grew up in southern India, in Chennai, and my dad grew up in Gujarat. They already are kind of from different parts of India, so it's different for them. And then for me, I'm a whole different generation, and then in a completely different country.
There's something I like to share with my mom. I got to meet her teacher when we went to India for vacation. It was fine, it was okay. She mostly translates it for us. Like, if somebody were to talk to me in this language, I wouldn't know what they're saying.
That's another moment from Greetings from Iowa, profiling the Sampradaya Dance Troupe in Iowa City. And with me, Tyler Brinninger, the producer of this series, Taylor Shore, the digital content manager at Iowa Public Television. And Tyler, one of the things that I really love about that episode is how very honest the children are. It certainly resonated with me as a mother, where you think, you know, you're doing the most amazing thing ever, and and your kid's like, yeah, but I'd rather go outside and play.
Yes.
But I mean, it was a really beautiful pageant that you were able to profile some amazing artistry, and clearly, you know, this culture is being passed down to a new generation in a really powerful way. But was featuring some of the candidness of the kids, was that also one of those moments where you tried to go in without expectations?
Absolutely, yeah. That's you know, when you get back to the edit suite, I'll shoot all day and you think, okay, what did I get here? I'm not exactly sure. You know, you have to go somewhere. And you can always just throw footage on the screen. That's fine. But you have to kind of take it somewhere. And for me, I try to find, you know, one of the reasons I'm at PBS or IPTV is because you can be honest. about these things. It doesn't have to have, you know, sex or violence or something like that. I used to work for a news station in Chicago, and I didn't last very long promoting, you know, some grotesque news, really. But I came to IPTV with the hopes of just kind of showing what people mean, right? And Smitha, the teacher of the Sampradaya dance troupe, was so genuine and so sweet. And she was classically trained in South India, and she really meant everything she was doing. She was intense about it. And she wanted to pass on this great instruction. But one thing she says in the piece, she didn't perform in public until 11th grade, she says, her graduation dance. And her children now, they're Iowans. They're growing up in Iowa City. And they're performing in public from the age of 5, 6, 7, 8. So that's a different story than hers. And I think it's important to let people tell their own story. And her children, as you heard there, her daughter says, we went to India and it was a little, it was okay. You know? And that's just gold. When she said that, I knew right there that that was, you know, a revelatory remark and something that's interesting.
How did you pick the subjects that you've profiled for this series?
The first couple came to me from other producers. As I said, Shane Straka turned me on to the Kaleidoscope Maker. Patrick Boberg, a producer at Iowa Public Television, was in Mount Vernon doing a story, and somebody turned him on to the painting event, and so he brought that back to me. The Sampradaya Dance Troupe, I was searching just through newspaper websites in eastern Iowa. I think it was Iowa City or Cedar Rapids newspaper that had it listed as an event that weekend, this dance thing. So I called, I found a way to contact Smitha, and talked to her and asked if I could come film it and then come back to her the next week and do some interviews.
So that was a really fast turnaround, too.
Oh, that was one that I, you know, that was a priority to see something that interesting. Also, there's a visual element to that. You can't skip this. There has to be a visual element to what I do. And so to see that, it was like, you know, cancel your weekend plans and go shoot that and then figure it out later. And it worked out.
Well, that also underlines the kind of flexibility that you have with this series, because when producing a TV show, usually you don't have that kind of flexibility. The plan has been made.
That's right.
A year in advance, maybe.
That's right. And you hit on it earlier when you said the small cameras. If you can get your hand on a camera and a microphone, then you can do a story. You know, it depends on what kind of story you want to do, and it depends on how much you shoot and how well you edit. But if you can get your hands on that basic equipment, and my little brother was standing by. He helped me shoot that one, Caleb Brinegar. It's his birthday tomorrow. But he helped me shoot that one, and that was a nice experience for both of us. But also, just talking to her on the phone, you can find out that, okay, this is going to be a good subject.
Well, I want to bring Brian Geist into the conversation. As I mentioned, episode 4 of Greetings from Iowa is up online as of today, and it features Brian Geist, who
Hello.
Is better known. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Better known as the bobblehead guy. Thank you so much for being here today, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great. This is really exciting.
Well, and let me ask Tyler first. I mean, what made Brian's story one you wanted to tell in this way?
Okay, so this one was very similar. I knew right away. Dean Borg, longtime Iowa Public Television host of Iowa Press, retired last fall. This January. But we did a retirement party for him in December. And at that party, Andrew Bott, the executive producer of Iowa Press, revealed a Dean Borg bobblehead. And I was fascinated with it. And I took a bunch of pictures of it. It was just really dead on. I thought it was the perfect gift. And Dean was very impressed with it. And Andrew told me that there's a guy in Des Moines that just makes bobbleheads full-time. And that's where I got interested full-time. Okay, you know, I could see if this was like something somebody did on Saturday. But this guy makes bobbleheads all day. He must know a lot about people. Mm. You know, even if he doesn't, if he sits in his attic or if he sits wherever, he knows a lot about people because he's looking at their faces all day and he's trying to do them a service, I think, or do them a justice in resembling them. And in fact, when we ran, this is a little longer than he asked for, but when we ran around town, we gave one to Bishop Pates of the Des Moines Diocese. And this clip didn't make it into the piece, but what Bishop Pates said as we left, he said, thank you, Brian. It's an honor to be reflected upon. I found that really moving.
Mm. Well, and Brian, tell me how you came to bobbleheads, because that is an interesting career and one that you've taken many paths to get to.
Yeah. Well, it was back in 2002. I graduated from college in 2001, and I had no idea what to do and for a job or anything. I was out of college. I was like, oh, boy. So I made these sculpture dolls that their heads didn't bobble. They were just sort of a one-set thing. And I made one for the round guy because I heckled one of his shows a long time ago and I felt bad. I was just like, and he doesn't remember and it was no big deal, but I felt bad about it. So I made him a little statue doll, and he put me on a show, Sound Off, at 10:30. Can I give shout-outs to other networks?
Sure.
Is that bad?
No.
WHO Keith Murphy does this sports show. Sorry if I messed anything up. And he said, well, I'll have you back on the show if you make me one. I was just like, okay. And then we were looking at his bobblehead collection, and he was just like, can you make me one? I was like, yeah. And I had no idea how to make one.
And for people who don't know, the round guy is a comedian.
Yeah, he's a comedian. He kind of disappeared, but I think he's coming back. Hopefully, he's a good guy. And it was So Keith had me make the bobblehead. Came back on the show, praying to God that the head didn't fall off and everything worked out. And then from there, I was pretty much really busy.
So what do you think it is about bobbleheads that appeals to people so much? Because, I mean, Tyler mentioned the likeness that you did of Dean Borg, and it's really a remarkable likeness. The only thing that makes it kind of a caricature is that the head is bigger than it should be for the body, yeah. And it bobs up and down. And looking at this episode, seeing your work, your likenesses of people, I mean, these really don't look like caricatures. These are portraits or real sculptures of people. They look like the subjects.
Yeah. I have a lot of fun. It's just kind of moving around a lot of the sculpey, the stuff I use to create these things. It's just sitting down and sort of seeing where these shapes can go, how I can get a look. kind of boils down to the tools that I use as well. And just, you know, hopefully going at it to capture the likeliness of the person. So when you buy it, you can identify with what you're getting.
But why do you think they appeal to people so much, and so much more than, let's say, a static doll that without a head that moves?
I don't know, because there's this whole culture of bobbleheads, and I really don't know too much about bobbleheads. I know how to make them, and I see the expression on people's faces, and it just makes me want to make more of them. I can't really explain what it is. Maybe people like to see themselves in a creative way. I don't know. I mean, this piece that we just that Tyler put together, it's kind of the first time I ever was able to sit down and look at the expression of people when I give the bobbleheads, and it's just like, oh, that's really cool.
Because usually that moment is over too quickly.
Yeah.
You don't have it captured like that.
Or I mail them out and people pick them up, and it's kind of a business transaction.
Right.
More than sitting down and sort of feeling off the whole experience of what these things go through when the person receives them.
So in doing this episode, you and Tyler, did you sit down and make a list of people that you wanted to make bobbleheads of and then film those presentations?
Yeah, well, this is interesting. I had a really slow period in March, and I was thinking, well, what can I do to promote myself? And I was thinking, well, I'll just go on Facebook and ask people around town who they'd like to see as bobbleheads. And, people responded, well, we'd like to see this. And I was only thinking I'd do 5, but then it turned out to be like 20. And it just so happened, Tyler gives me a call. He goes, I want to interview you. And I was just like, well, I have this going on. Maybe we can somehow work it out where, you know, we present them. So this whole thing kind of just fell into place at the right moment. It was a really cool thing.
Nice. Well, who was your favorite bobblehead to present? Because, I mean, people had really different reactions. You gave one to the governor, of both the governor and the lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about maybe that favorite moment.
You know, specifically like my most favorite bobblehead I ever made, I don't think there is one. You just can't do it that way. It's just...
But maybe the most powerful reaction to receiving one of these bobbleheads.
Oh, geez.
Was it a KO?
For the segment, yeah, that was really that was awesome.
That was pretty good.
That was really cool. He really liked it. That's the reaction you look for. He teared up.
Golden.
Yeah. Well, he's a blessed man.
For people who aren't in the Des Moines area, we're talking about Representative
Akeo Abdul Samad.
Mm-hmm.
And Charity, killer cameraman with this Darren Klaus.
Yeah.
And we went to the Capitol. A couple of these I had arranged. It's a funny story. Mayor County, I ran into at Gateway Market. And I said, Mr. Mayor, I got a bobblehead for you if you let me come by and present it with a camera. And we had a nice conversation, and he was caught a little off guard. But he said, yeah, just call the office or send an email. And so we did that. And then I got on a roll, and I emailed all these people that Brian had made. A few of them got back. A few of them didn't. But we ended up at the Capitol with a box. And Akeo, Senator Bisignano from Des Moines, some of these folks, weren't able to coordinate with them, but we put in a note through the page system that you do there at the Capitol. If you want to speak to your representative, you submit a note, and they'll come out and speak to you. And they came out.
So they really were surprises.
That Akeo one and a couple others were total shocks to them. And
they were like, what is this?
That's right.
Although, I mean, Representative Abdul Samad was so delighted. He really was moved.
He came back out two or three times, actually, to speak to Brian.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
It was
nice. I like him.
Yeah.
Now, this is a short episode, and it's a profile of what you do, Brian. But there's a moment where I can see you deciding in the episode how deep you want to go into your personal life. And you mentioned that you are bipolar, and part of your art really helps you express yourself and cope with some of the difficulties of that.
That was really interesting because Tyler made me feel very comfortable. Darren and Tyler were awesome. So I just kind of just rambled and, what could he get from this piece? And I am bipolar. I think that plays a very important part in my art. It's just I have this really explosive imagination inside this little skull of mine. And and it's just kind of like, there's some misunderstanding of people being bipolar. And it's just, I thought it would be a wonderful part for the piece.
Hadn't planned it out ahead of time to share that.
I saw it and went, oh, no. I didn't mean to say that.
I think it surprised Brian. And actually, he just saw it last night. So that's something that he's still reacting to.
I like it. It's kind of nice for it to be out there. So I don't have to, when I conversate with someone, I don't feel like I am hiding anything within me. I talked to my mom about it last night. I was like, oh boy. And she was just like, well, we're an open family. And, we get ourselves out there. And I thought that was really kind of a nice thing to say. And, it's an honest thing to say to people. And
if I could just say, I struggled with including that. I think that, one thing I do when I'm in the edit suite is I always end up relating to the subjects really closely. Mm-hmm. And even though they're not there, I'm watching hours of them talking. And I'm seeing their habits and their tics and the way they present themselves and disguise themselves sometimes. Brian doesn't disguise himself very much, but some people really have their guard up. But the camera doesn't, it's got everything right there. And that moment, I'm showing a guy who's really sensitive to people, if I'm honest, and really, giving you, like I said with the bishop, a reflection of yourself. He's spending some time thinking about who you are and how your face works. Mm-hmm. And a face really is the key to your person. And so when I see a moment where Brian reveals himself and lets his guard down, whether it's Brian or Leonard or anyone else, that's what I'm looking for when they reveal themselves. Mm-hmm. And that makes the whole rest of the piece work, in my opinion. You've got this guy who's bouncing around town with some of the most powerful people in Des Moines, making them laugh, making them like themselves, making them laugh at themselves, to be quite honest, which we could all do more of. And I think the reason he's able to do that is because he's working on things himself, and that's the reason I'm able to do what I'm doing. And I think that is important for people to know.
Well, and Brian, I'm sure it means a lot to other people who are also in a similar situation.
Yeah,
and, so many of our artists do struggle with mental illness.
Yeah, when I started telling friends, because, I was out of control and I was really worried and things just weren't clicking right with me. I had to figure out what was wrong. And I sort of opened vocally on, with friends on Facebook, and they were, a lot of people came forward and said, well, I have this and that. And people I've known for years, and you just wouldn't know. And it was, it's a really liberating feeling when you have people come forward and share a personal part of their lives as well.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I hope a lot of people
welcome.
See this episode. It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really neat. I'm so excited.
And you really do incredible work. Brian, guys,
thank
thanks
you.
A lot.
Thank you.
Brian Geist, better known as the Bobblehead Guy, and the episode of Greetings from Iowa that he's featured in is now up online. Tyler Briniger, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us, Charity.
Tyler Briniger is the Iowa Public Television producer and director, who's the person behind the development of this new web series, Greetings from Iowa. Taylor Shore, thank you.
Thank you, Charity.
Taylor Shore, IPTV Digital Content Manager. And of course, you can find a link to the Greetings from Iowa series on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. And of course, they're all over the web as well. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about the question, what makes a perfect lawn, and visit some new ideas about it. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.